Ignorant, we gon' bring that racket like it's Wimbledon. Discipline, but yet you find anyone equivalent. Ain't no podcast similar, now you won't find no synonyms. Be produced by Q Smith, sound like it's by Timbaland. JBB in charge, EG set the bar. Coop be sipping water tree, and Turk gon' lay the law. Jokes may go too far, but that's just who we are. Prolific, so gifted, words that have your soul lifted. So consistent, yeah, so different. Ain't nobody copy that lane. Carry that torch, heat up the game. Ain't nobody got that flame. Different, different. Man, this intro different. Man, this intro ignorant.
And what's good, ladies and gentlemen? You know what day it is. You know what time it is. It's time for another edition, rendition, Ren and Stimpy edition. Words that I don't have to come up with because I'm better than that. Edition of the one and only G1 Ignite Universe podcast. This is your host with the most eating toast, seeing ghosts. One of the big bad brothers of Broke Five Broke. We ain't got it. I'm here to bring you more ignorance, more stars, more laughs, and more slander. Because
and more money.
I can't get you no money. I can't get you no money. But y'all know the rules of the show. These jokes gon' fly regardless. We don't care nor know who you are, but you will be slandered on this show because, well, hey, I wrote it in. I get to make those decisions. So, to my virtual bottom, we have the man who has been on a basically a six-month sabbatical. When his girlfriend lets him out the house, it is wow. Like a solar eclipse because it does not happen very often. She has his you-know-what in a Ziploc bag, and I don't even mean the brand name Ziploc. I mean the great value. Ladies and gentlemen, EG himself was good.
You funny. You are funny, sir.
Did you not hear the intro? These jokes gonna fly.
Look, man, I've been busy working playoffs, stars, Mavs. I'm finally back now, all right? And I'm coming off. This is my flu game episode because I'm coming off of
the toilet.
Yeah, some food poisoning over the weekend.
I mean, you know, there's no shame in the toilet. It happens.
Look, man, when it calls, it calls.
Hey, when you gotta go, you gotta go.
Hey, it's just like whenever you get that phone call from your mama and you know you didn't pick up.
Well, y'all, to my virtual right, we have the man who is known as the diversity hire, the only man in this chat who lives above the Mason-Dixon line.
He is, for now.
He's experiencing his own heat wave, even though it's only 93 degrees. Why? Because they soft. Yeah, I said it. Michigan, you're soft. I don't want to hear about your winter. Y'all chose to live in the Great White North. Ladies and gentlemen, the man who has made his own mixed race baby, and I ain't talking about no movie star, Jesse Dyer. What's good?
What's bracken, man? EG, man, to our listeners, y'all don't see the picture, but EG looking like DJ Khali out here.
We the best.
We the best.
He also called you back.
Welcome to my hood.
Everybody knows everybody.
Another one.
Another.
Oh, and before we get the show started, allow me to say happy almost Juneteenth. Y'all know what it is. Y'all know where I'm going to be at this weekend. Here in Dalworth, Texas, we have our Juneteenth celebration Friday night at the Dalworth Recreation Center. In-N-Out Burger will be coming. You know we are Whataburger people around here, but hey, we don't say no. We don't say no to free nothing. They'll be out there passing out food. They'll be dancing. My uncle will be on the MC, and my grandfather will be dancing. Eric, you've seen that, and you know it happens every year.
Oh, speaking of which, that popped up on my memories today.
I did. And Saturday.
Hey, better in fact, man. I get to celebrate. I'm part of it. God.
I know where this is going.
Why do you get to celebrate, Jesse?
My daughter, obviously.
You only get to celebrate half the day.
I'm about to say it's half. I'm about to say it was half. We half free.
For him, it's 12 to 12.
12 to 12. I'll let you pick which 12.
He said 12 to 12.
I'll let you know. 12 to 11:59. Yeah.
We gonna do it like a term paper. 11:59. Hey, you gotta sit down and chew.
So you gotta pick either morning or afternoon.
Hey, I'm on vacation. Why are you playing?
I'm tired of bullshit. Regardless, Saturday, we will be at Tyree Park chilling, hanging out with your favorite local politicians. If you want to know how they're making the city better, go ahead and come out and talk to him. We will also be having free burgers and dogs. I will also be whooping kids in 25 in basketball and in horse because I can do that because I'm an OG now. But that's not the point of the show. I was going to slander Eric, but I ran out of ideas. Jesse, what you got?
I was slandering Eric. Well, first of all, this is the first time Eric's left his house. That boy's girlfriend got him on lock and key.
Yeah. Okay.
We're talking about bashing Eric, first of all. Been on house arrest by his girlfriend. He's been on lock more than the natives had. The government had the natives.
He's more on lock than Akon in 2005.
Eric's more on lock than the game bashing Eminem.
Eric is more on lock than Draymond scoring more than 10 points.
Eric's more on lock than LeBron in the 2011 finals.
Eric is more unlocked than a blank black unlocked character in Mortal Kombat. I wish I could see his face because he just got to sit here and take this.
Just abuse.
Bro, I literally been busy with Mavs and Stars playoffs.
We know.
Bro, Luka Doncic had been in the playoffs for the past 6 weeks.
Actually.
Eric is really going back and checking dates, too.
I've been busy with concerts and Mavs and Stars playoffs. By the way, y'all MGK fans are some weirdos.
They're fans of MGK. That says enough right there.
And to the guy who came to my window the other night complaining about paying $200 for an MGK concert, that's your fault.
No problem.
That's not mine.
It's your fault. I agree.
Ladies and gentlemen, allow us to set our first beef with a musical artist on this show. MGK, we don't care. We don't like you. You trash. Please stop rapping. Megan Fox, fine, though. We get you points for that.
In person.
Here, baby, choose his words carefully.
Son, she hang out with Optimus Prime and them, man.
Look, Jamal, in person.
She ain't it.
I ain't going to start anything because this might get me attacked, but she kind of look a little, that A word that has an X in it. Exia.
Ooh. Yeah. Eric said she ain't got no ass. That's really what he said. She ain't got no ass. But
she ain't, basically, to sum it up in Texas terms, she ain't been eating her Texas Roadhouse rolls.
And she ain't been eating that Texas toast.
She look like she ain't eating nothing at all.
And while we got to get back to slandering somebody who actually deserves it. While we're talking about somebody who ain't it, I've been saying it all playoff long, and now y'all finally coming around. You finally got to believe me. Jason Tatum, you're not that guy.
I ain't going to lie, Jamal. That was kind of a hard pill for me to swallow. Because, you know, I've been trying to give this man chances. Wouldn't you say I've been giving him fair chances?
You've been fighting against me when I say I don't think he's mentally this, I don't think he's mentally that. Jamal, you don't think anybody mentally did.
That part I'm agree with you on. Cause you always say every athlete isn't mentally there and all that. No, but Tatum, I'm gonna finally agree with you on Tatum.
Look, man, when it comes to the NBA, especially in today's times, teams 90% of the time will go as far as their best player can take. And Jason Tatum too far has come up too short in too many moments. Now, for you box score watchers, yes, Tatum shot 50% from the field. He had 23 points. I believe he was 10 of 20 from the field, 10 of 21, something like that. But look, he airballed his first shot. In game five. He airballed his first shot. And then you know what else happened? He didn't shoot the ball for 10 minutes. Now, Jesse, Eric, all of us were hoopers at one point in our lives. Raise your hand if you've ever missed the first shot you've taken in a game.
Hands raised.
Because I don't even have to ask the question because everyone who's ever touched the ball has missed their first shot. But let me ask y'all this. Did it take you 10 minutes, 10 floor minutes, not 10 real time minutes, 10 floor minutes to shoot another shot?
No, y'all two know me so well. Y'all know that next shot I'm busting it.
What team am I playing on?
Doesn't matter, Jesse.
If I'm on with Stevie, I don't think I'm shooting.
Hey, that's a Stevie thing. That's a Stevie problem.
Nah, bro, I'm a bucket. I don't.
And that's what I'm talking about. Tatum is supposed to be the best player on your team, which he is. There's really no doubt on that. He's supposed to be. Is he a superstar yet? Is he on the? Is he getting in the club superstar? Does he? Is he got bottle service? This and that. But why doesn't he act like it half the time?
I ain't gonna lie. That kind of. This is off subject, but this is one thing that kind of bothers me a little bit about these new superstars. They don't have that like real dog in them like we grew up watching. I think Luka is probably like the only one who really does have the dog in them.
Jimmy? I don't think so, man. I think Jimmy Butler. Luka don't. I don't think Luka has it either. Luka would be complaining to the refs too much for that. He can get you a bucket, but like if it ain't going Luka's way, bro, he shuts down.
I don't think Luka's a dog for the simple fact he ignores defense. Like, I'm not saying everyone is going to be Kawhi, but everybody can put forth effort on defense. And hell, Luka is 6'8". He's big enough to make a difference on defense if he puts forth some kind of effort.
I don't know, man. I say we got at least like 5 or 7 players in the league. They're like dogs. That's about it. Pat Bev is one of them. You can hate on Pat Bev all you want. Boy, he ain't backing down.
I'll say this. If Pat Bev came to the Mavs, I'd become the biggest Pat Bev supporter ever.
Pat Bev is one of those guys. You love him if you're playing with him, but hate him when you got to go against him.
You know what irritates me the most is what about Tatum is the week leading up to the finals, all you saw was, oh, I'm doing this for Kobe. I'm doing this for Kobe. I'm doing this for Kobe. I'm like, bro, stop. And then would Kobe not shoot a ball for the past 10 minutes?
Kobe
would have jacked up 100 shots.
Bro, Kobe would have gone shooting 1 for 60. The only bucket he got all night, he'd be all right because he's like, well, shit, at least I went down trying.
Boy, if you know you that guy, you're going to go get it.
Okay, Jesse, so I thought about this last night, and I sent it to Eric. He didn't respond because Eric light-skinned. He don't always text back. I'm going to break this down to you and tell me if I'm tripping or not. So I think one of the reasons I don't like Jason Tatum is because he's big, but he plays so small. Like the impact on the game feels small. Jason Tatum is 6'9". He's damn near 6'10". So he's not a little dude on the court. But when he shoots, he makes his shots more difficult than they need to be because he loves his step back. He fades away a little too often, and he shies away from contact like he's not one of the bigger dudes on the court. The Celtics don't start a dude over 6'9". None of their quote-unquote bigs are bigger than 6'9". Robert Williams is 6'9". Mm-hmm. Al Horford is 6'9". Jason Tatum is 6'8". And let's be real, y'all, the difference between 6'8 and 6'9 is really not that much.
The tell of the tape, man, was when Tatum went to drive in and he traveled. I tell you, he wanted no part of that Draymond contact.
None. So do y'all think my synopsis of why I really don't like Jason Tatum is accurate?
See, I can agree with you on Tatum on this one. Now, when you mentioned about AD, that's a little bit more different. My thing with AD is he can't take the beating. Like, I know Tatum can take the beating because he can stay relatively healthy. Whereas someone like AD, he can't take a beating if he were to play more down low like we all want him to.
He can't take the beating because he chooses not to build his body that way.
He's just fragile. That's it. Like, I think even if he were to build his body up like that, he'd still be fragile. He's just – some guys are just like that.
Bouncing off ideas, Tatum, like you said, the impact of his game. This dude had what in the first half, like 21 and 10. Yeah, I think he had like 10 rebounds, right?
He was going stupid first half,
and yeah, it didn't even feel like it. You're like, whoa! I saw that stat come across. I was like, he's balling. Like, I had no idea.
Exactly. He played He played 2.5 complete quarters. I mean. He didn't play a real good first quarter, obviously, but that's not because he struggled. That's because he literally did not try. He did not shoot the ball. He missed then, one.
I mean, like, and you watch the game and you watch Marcus Smart. If Marcus Smart hits more than 2 threes, he has the bigger impact than Tatum.
And that's another.
You know, another thing we could blame too for this, and then I'm talking about NBA in general too. When I make this statement, is you can also blame, analytics on this, because players now today are more concerned about their shooting percentage. So, like, to them, granted, I know he took dumb shots, but they're always gonna go with a shooting, try to get to them in their mind a higher shooting percentage based off analytics, because they don't want to get eaten up alive on Twitter 20 years down the road.
Like, you know, the crazy thing about Tatum is he's shooting better from three than he is inside the arc. And that brings me back to, he doesn't want contact, is because majority of his threes are a lot less contested than majority of his twos, which is the case in most people. But dog, if you're telling me you're shooting 45 from three, but 40 to 35 from the two, that means you're afraid. That means you're soft and you're not going to the hole hard. Like, say what you want about Jaylen Brown and his bad hands and his turnovers, but at least I know Jaylen Brown is out there giving me everything he's got. I can't always say the same about Tatum.
Now, Brown, that's a dog right there.
Oh, yeah. JB is a dog, for better or for worse. Sometimes he gets some little Russell Westbrook syndrome, but I will never be mad at a dude for playing hard and giving his all on the court. I will never be mad.
Especially at this point of the year. Like, you could live with that, because you're like, fuck it, we got to go all in no matter what.
And besides, even though Brown turns the ball over a lot, Tatum ain't innocent of that either.
Oh, yeah.
And at least we know, when Brown turns the ball over, those are just moving too fast, working too hard turnovers, which just happen in basketball. But Tatum has reckless turnovers, and that's something that's not okay.
See, my thing with Tatum, now that I'm, like, really watching him more and more, he has too much of that pretty boy style to him. Like, everything, like, his movements and all is for IG and Twitter, you know? You know what I'm talking about.
They're very nonchalant, and they don't seem purposeful. It doesn't look like he's trying to take up space. He's moving. Now, he naturally moves kind of smooth, and he's not blazing fast or super athletic, but it seems like when he's moving, he's not trying hard.
Like, his game is – I know he's trying so hard to be like Kobe, but I feel like he's more closer to Paul George play style-wise than he is to Kobe. I don't think he realizes that.
He's a lot closer to Paul George's size, too.
Yeah. So I feel like if he were to adapt his game to more of Paul George, I think we would see a lot more success with him. I'm not saying he would turn him into a dog, because that comes down to your own mentality. But I think we'll see a more complete player versus him trying to play like Kobe. And I get the whole reason why he wants to play like Kobe. I mean, hell, everybody wants to play like Kobe. But, I mean, at the same time, too, like, he needs to recognize his game for what it is.
So, before we go on to the next segment, I have a question for both of y'all. Are the Celtics done? Is it over? Dubs and six?
Dubs and six. That was my bet. I almost got the stat line right yesterday. I said Draymond would have 10, 8, and 8. I was so close.
He had, like, 8, didn't he?
Yeah, bro. He had 8, 7, and 8. But if he fouled out, I would have got it.
Damn. You're right. He would have got another 2 at least.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, bro. I almost got it right, and I said Warriors by 5, but they won by 10. I was pretty close.
EG, do the Dubs get it?
Dubs and 7.
Okay. Boston takes it home, where they have not been impressive all playoff long. But we're going to see, because, hey, it's basketball. Anything can happen in the NBA.
But they have been impressive in elimination games.
They have been impressive in elimination games, and I don't believe they've lost 2 in a row since the playoffs started. I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure they have.
But I'm gonna go Golden State in 7.
Dubs in 7. But hey,
they just lost 2 in a row.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was, but yeah, you're right. But this was the first time they've lost 2 in a row all playoff long.
Oh no, this is the first time they lost 2 in a row since March.
Hey, that says a lot. Dubs, y'all got your work cut out for you in Beantown.
So, in game 6, Clay.
Game 6, Clay. So to move on to our next topic. We have some interesting things. We're going to take a walk down memory lane, because sports people, hey, we walk down memory lane pretty much every day. So, Jesse, what is a sports moment that you wish you could relive for better, for worse, for whatever reason? Where you at?
Bro, game 7, 2016, Cleveland versus Golden State when LeBron blocked that shot.
How did I know it was going to be a LeBron moment?
No, but like, it like, about it, but I was like, dude, that moment, I just remember watching that in my living room. They could not score for like 2 minutes. And just they're going back and forth. And I see Iggy go on that fast break. And then I see LeBron coming down, bro. And I'm like, no, he's not. And he just pins it. That's just, that's forever going to be like a memory.
Bro, I've been saying this for years. If LeBron is on the court and you have a breakaway, do not shoot a layup. Go and dunk it. I don't care if you can't dunk. Try. Because anyone who plays basketball knows it is very hard to get a clean block on a dunk. It is very difficult.
Watching that block in slow motion is insane because it legit is a clean block. No contact, no nothing. Yes,
bro. And he thought it. What was so crazy was, bro, how fast the play happened. And you watch it. If Iggy goes to reverse it, dude's LeBron's left hand is on the other side of the backboard ready to pin it too. I'm like, bro, that's crazy.
They did a sports science segment on it. They said LeBron got down to court in like 1.5 or 1.6 seconds from half court.
Because LeBron is an athletic freak of nature, and Iggy should understand that. It's like, hey, bro, just go dunk the ball. Because odds are if you go dunk it, the block, you're either going to get a free dunk or you're going to get a foul. Most dunks, whether the block is clean or not, don't get a clean call because it looks dirty. There's nothing you can do.
I was jumping up and down, bro. I will never forget that moment. I knew they when he did that, I was like, oh, they won this game. It's over.
EG, where you at? What is your moment?
2011, game 6. Dirk walking over the little press area back into the locker room. He finally got his ring.
Of course, the Mavs. Even though Eric was a diehard OKC fan back then.
I was a diehard KD fan.
Rooting for OKC. I'm not gonna name no names. Tell me more about that moment with Dirk.
That was awesome. No, what's crazy is like knowing everything that man went through in Dallas and all the pay cuts he took, he finally got a championship. And to beat the big three.
And to watch all his former teammates and some of his best friends in the league leave him to go to better situations, honestly.
Yeah.
Nash left, and the Suns, even though they didn't end up winning a ship, were still in better situations than the Mavs most of their years. Finley left to go to the Spurs. We know how the Spurs worked out. Just he saw so many guys come and go, and he was thinking, man, when is it going to be my turn? When is it going to be my turn? And he finally got it against all odds, by the way, because be honest, 95% of the world did not think the Mavs could pull off that title run.
If I remember correctly, Mavs were an underdog in every series except for the Thunder series, because they were underdog against Portland, underdogs against the Lakers, and of course underdogs against Miami. And like when you think about like look at the list of players that he had to face against: LaMarcus Aldridge, Brandon Roy, Kobe, Gasol, Lamar Odom,
Andrew Bynum some love.
I'll give Andrew Bynum that love because he was a borderline All Star during those Laker years, and of course like the big three in Miami.
Dirk definitely earned that title the hard way, and look, you can't take away a title away from him. He only has one. But that one is a lot more meaningful than a lot of people can give it credit for.
And the parade was lit.
I had to watch it.
Yeah, the parade was lit.
That's the only good thing about a local team winning a title, whether you like them or not, is you get a free parade.
Nah, I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna hate it when Cowboys win it.
That won't be for another 20 years, so you ain't gotta worry about it. Cowboy fans, I said what I said. Now, I know y'all wondering what moment your boy would choose. And since those two went basketball, I got to change it up. We got to mix things up.
I know damn sure ain't no Chargers moment.
How about say, is it Phillip Rivers playing with his ACL?
Man,
No, I want to guess.
What is it?
It happened in 06.
A lot of good things happened in 06. You're going to be specific here.
It happened in California.
He's going for the corner. He's got it. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you what that game meant to me. I was in the fourth grade. The national championship was on a Monday night.
Oh, my God.
The fact that I know that just off the top of my head, I don't have to Google that or nothing. I know. I was there. I was young. I was in the fourth grade. I remember watching this game and seeing my heroes, seeing Vince Young go up and down the field against another one of my heroes. Y'all don't know, Reggie Bush is the reason I started wearing number 5 like a lot of young kids back in them day. And I watched them duke it out, score after score, tackle after tackle, win after win, money in the power. Y'all already know what it was. And then it came down to that 4th and 5 on the goal line. I watched Vince drop back and head for the corner. And, oh, it was so sweet. That was a moment that I could never forget. You know how little fucks I gave the next day at school? My elementary school, we wore uniforms. And I said, fuck all that. I wore my Texas hoodie, my Texas stocking cap, and a Texas shirt underneath it. Says, screw this uniform. This is Texas Day, and no one can tell me otherwise. And another small fact that everyone does not know, every starter on that Texas team on offense and defense came from a Texas high school. Just love that. It's hard to go against stuff like that. Getting goosebumps. I'm going to rewatch it later.
Anyways.
You can y'all just feel the OU salt in this?
I fell asleep.
I bet you did. Just like y'all fell asleep in the Cotton Bowl that year. But, hey, that was just our year. Y'all had my man Rhett Bomar. Shout out to Rhett Bomar. You know GP's greatest.
Screw that guy.
Man, why you hate on Rhett Bomar, man?
Screw that guy. But I'll say this: if it wasn't for Brett, we wouldn't have gotten Bradford.
GP, are you with me?
So that's about the only good thing Rhett Bomar did for OU.
All right, I'll let y'all both get one more real quick. Just tell me your moment. When it happened, how it made you feel. Jesse, go ahead.
Man, I got to think about that one. Shoot.
They going to pick one just to spite me, even though my
answer. No, I'm thinking about a good one, honestly. Good sports moment. Oh, mine's when Stephon Diggs caught that shit on the Saints. And took that down, bro.
Boy, that was the best moment of my life.
The one bro, Eric didn't even know was happening.
Bro, our TV was lagging in college. We had no idea.
Yeah, no. To give y'all know about the Minneapolis miracle. Diggs caught that ball where the Saints DB, I don't care what no one says, he was point shaped. And because he didn't even try to tackle Diggs. He didn't even try. Diggs.
Bro, my boy John Jones still mad about that till this day.
John is still mad. Diggs ran into the end zone untouched. He threw his helmet. And through all that, Eric didn't see it until a minute later. And I'm texting him like, that just happened. And he has no idea what's going on.
Oh, no. Me and Jess were mad about the field goal. We turned the TV off.
Yeah, bro. We were watching this shit because Candace is a Saints fan. Bro, I saw they went down. I threw my remote across the room.
Bro, no. Like, legit, Jamal, me and Jesse were pissed in the dorm.
And then all you had to do was believe. All you had to do was believe. And because that affected both of you, EG, you don't get another one because that counts as one.
No, I want mine.
Fine, make it quick.
I went to the game this past season in the Cotton Bowl.
You see what I mean? He just do stuff to spite me.
We want Caleb. Well, they got Caleb.
Not anymore.
Well, not anymore, but. I mean, he saw what happened.
Had Caleb. But you see how Eric just do stuff to spite me? You know he did this just because I mentioned Texas.
Look, I mean, man, all I'm going to say is I was there on the 50-yard line split. Which, by the way, if you ever go to OU Texas, you got to do the split.
Got to go on the divide, baby. It's a beautiful place to be.
I don't care if you're a Texas fan, you want to sit on the Texas side, or you're an OU fan, you want to sit on the OU side. Nah, you got to sit on the split, because that's where the real fun's at.
Real fun and real fights.
That too.
So, to move on to the next category, you know your man Stephen A. Smith is always yelling on national TV. J.J. Redick be getting in his ass, but he just don't like to admit that, because J.J. Redick is by far the smartest man to go on First Take. Probably ever.
J.J. be taking his lunch money.
Oh, with that being said,
before you go on, J.J. be taking his lunch money, and he took Mad Dog lunch money so much that they had to break it up when J.J. came on.
They ain't gonna regret hiring J.J. Redick, honestly. So, with that being said, Stephen A. said some comments that I don't fully agree with. So, basically, he was going on which players he would rather have. And he said he would rather have Anthony Davis over, we're going to go down the list, and I'm going to see how y'all feel about this. He would rather have Anthony Davis, we'll start off with the MVP, over Jokic. How y'all feel about that?
Nope.
I'll start it. Yes. I'm going to tell you why. A healthy Anthony Davis, a truly healthy Anthony Davis, is a bucket. This man can hoop. This man can hoop, bro. I can know that is what he did to Jokic in that series with the Lakers.
Yes, you're not wrong. Anthony Davis is definitely more talented than him. And Anthony Davis had a hell of a run in the bubble. He really just did. I'm still not taking him over Jokic because I know what Jokic is going to give me night in and night out. Now, this is barring injury. We're talking about 100% health. We're not talking about injury prone or whatever. But it does not change the fact Anthony Davis plays soft. He thinks he's 6'2", and I can't have that. He's far too inconsistent with the way he plays because the style of which he chooses to play. Give me the MVP. Eric?
I'm going Jokic.
We taking the white man. Jesse would be proud. Oh, so next up, Anthony Davis over Jason Tatum. Now, I don't need to explain myself. I had a whole segment of slandering Jason Tatum at the beginning of the show, so this ain't about me. Jesse, where you at?
Easy, Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I'm going AD.
I, too, will take AD, even though I believe he's soft. I'm going to say that multiple times in this segment.
I think he has a ring, bro. Can't take that away from him.
Nope, we cannot. So the next one, it's going to seem like I am biased, but I promise you, it's an unbiased opinion. Anthony Davis, Jimmy Butler.
Tough. I hate to say that's really tough. Because Jimmy has those weird injuries too. It's like,
yeah,
where are you at? Like, that ankle, man, he's always twisting his ankles.
And Jimmy has days where he wants to be a superstar and other days where he's just
– yeah, he's like there. Super passive. I honestly think I'm going to go Anthony Davis.
I'm going to go Jimmy's just simply the fact that he's carried a load the last 2 out of 3 years.
I'm going to go with Jimmy Butler, not because I'm a Heat fan. I've admired Jimmy Butler's game for a long time before he came to Miami. I'm going to say it because Anthony Davis is not Batman. Anthony Davis is Robin. He is the number two.
I would like to say the reason I choose Anthony Davis is because Jimmy's hot and cold attitude-wise. It's hard to blend him with other people. AD's going to chill and just vibe.
I think he gets a bad rap on that. Is he hard to gel? Or does
I don't know,
he
bro.
Just,
there's been 4 stops, and he's had issues at all 4 stops.
All of those have been outside issues that weren't his fault. In Minnesota, it was Cat and Wiggins not taking the game serious. They had that issue before he got there. In Philly, the problem was Ben Simmons. We all know Ben Simmons has his own set of problems that reflects everywhere. In Miami, he had one scuffle with the coach. Okay. You can tell me what star player hasn't had a scuffle with their coach.
I'm just saying, man.
Hey, look.
Sometimes you don't know what you're going to get from Jimmy. I love Jimmy. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying.
I mean, I'm saying I think you get the most consistency out of Jimmy. He He shows up when you need him to. Regular season, okay, he's a little on and off, but you know when it can, when it comes down to the games that matter, when it's time for crunch time, he's going to be there. I can't say the same about Anthony Davis. I just can't.
That's kind of the reason why I'm going to lean towards Jimmy.
I got to pull something up, bro. Because this man was hooping, bro. His best year with New Orleans, he averaged 28-11, shooting 50%. He played 75 games. And he did it again the following year, but he shot a higher percentage, 53%. Come on, bro. Anthony Davis, he could hoop.
I never said he couldn't hoop. No,
I'm just saying, like, play, man.
That's what makes me mad about watching him now. We know what he's capable of, and then we see what he gives you. Anthony Davis.
I'm saying, I don't like to make excuses, but, you know, your stats always take a dip when you play at LeBron, just a little bit. But does play soft. I agree. He does play soft. He pisses me off sometimes. I'm like, he drifts to the three too much.
Look, my whole thing of guys I like on my team, Jesse, you're a coach too, so I'm sure you can attest to this to a degree. If a guy gives me everything he's got and he plays hard and he does what he can do, you'll live with the outcome at the end of the day, whether positive or negative. You just want positive. With Anthony Davis, I don't know if I'm getting that. I don't. And yeah. At least you can say what you want about Jimmy Butler, injury prone, knick-knack stuff, whatever, bad attitude. You know what you're going to get from Jimmy on that court for 48 minutes.
Who's your next guy?
Your next guy is Eric's favorite white boy, Eric's boyfriend, Anthony Davis. Stephen A. said he would take Anthony Davis over Luka Doncic. Hold up. Before we begin, ladies and gentlemen, cue Eric's theme music.
This is ridiculous claim by Stephen A. Smith. Because, for one, Stephen A. Smith never liked Luka anyways. Let's just throw that out there. If we go back to the 2018 draft, what did Stephen A. Smith say about Luka? He was going to be a bust. And that he's not deserving to be a number one pick. Fast forward 4 years later, what's the result of it now? He's still going against Luka. He did the same thing during the Utah series. Did the same thing during the Phoenix series. And obviously the Golden State series, which everyone knew Golden State was going to win that one no matter what. But, you know, Stephen A. Smith is typical of Stephen A. Smith. But anyways, no, I'm not going to take AD over Luka. That's just it. For one, Luka's going to take over the game, unlike AD. He's going to stay healthy, unlike AD. He can take the pounding, unlike AD.
Pause.
Hey, but no, on a serious note, non-biased too, I don't really see anyone that would take AD over Luka, especially right now, the way Stephen A. was talking in that video.
I concur. I can't take AD over Luka. I do think Luka is a little soft, but I know he gonna give me buckets. I can't say the same about AD. Jesse?
That's easy. Luka.
We are choosing the white man once again.
Remember when we had a white boy off?
We did have a white boy off. But you know what? I raise a challenge to the audience, to y'all, ladies and gentlemen, Eric, EG, Jesse, y'all can participate in this too. I want you to make the best starting five possible with all white players in your free time. We ain't got time for that. But here's the twist. American-born white players. Yeah, no. No foreign guys. You can't get Jokic. You can't get Luka. No. And I will give y'all a little bit of grace. You get one
Nash, Nash Bird.
Hold on, not all time. Currently, we can do all time.
Oh, current. Oh, my bad.
Currently,
see, yeah. That's easy. How about that? Yeah. You're cold ass starting five.
Now
I was gonna have Brock Galbini as my three.
Because if we doing that, man, you need to show my man AK-47 some love. And look, I'll give y'all some grace. You get one half breed, one half and half. You get one Blake Griffin, one Lonzo, one Devin Booker. You get.
I called Div on LaMelo.
Hey, that's on y'all. They ain't got nothing to do with me. So we have a game of do they get in? We talked about this at Applebee's while Jesse was hating on Applebee's of how easy it really is to get into the Basketball Hall of Fame. And do you know why it's so easy? EG, let them know.
Oh, yeah. So, like, I tweeted something the other day where I said, Luka could retire right now and he would be in the Basketball Hall of Fame. And my mentions got lit up. But the thing about it is, with the Basketball Hall of Fame, it accounts for everything basketball, not just NBA related. And what Luka did in the European League is very hysterical for someone his age. Then on top of that, throw on what he's doing right now in the NBA.
And then you have to realize it is the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame. That's a whole different story. Thus, when you talk about basketball, your college career is added on to that. Guys who have overseas careers or live overseas beforehand who may not be American, they get a say in that. And that's partially why, because even though a guy may not have had a great career in the NBA, if they were an all-time great overseas, you kind of got to put that in. Basketball is an international game for that very reason.
It's a bonus.
So, y'all, I'm going to give y'all a list of some fringe guys, and you tell me, do they get in or not? The first one we got, Kyle Lowry. Does he get in?
Yep.
Yeah. He brought Toronto their first championship. Easy.
And when you bring a team your first championship, that's a big plus in the eyes of the Hall of Fame, too.
And then on top of that, he has a couple All-NBA teams, even though there may be second and third team. He got a couple All-NBA teams, and he's been a consistent All-Star player.
I think he's got like six. And
yeah.
Six is a good amount.
Yeah, that's easy.
All right, the next one, K-Love.
Yes.
Nah.
I don't know, man. Those years.
Those years in Minnesota, bro.
Exactly. That man was a 20-12 guy. Easy.
Oh, probably more than that. I remember there was a few games he got 20 rebounds.
I don't know, Eric. K-Love had a solid career pre-LeBron.
Yeah.
I mean, he did. But what hurts him, too, though, when you look at his time in Minnesota, they never made the playoffs.
He was an all-star every time he was in Cleveland. Won a championship with Cleveland. So, I think he's going to get in.
I think when you add in his stuff in Minnesota, plus he had one or two rings with LeBron.
One
ring. I think that's enough. Right now,
he was a pretty decent college player, too.
Yeah. Right now, I base everything off Christian Laettner. If you can say you had a better career than Christian Laettner, you get in because Christian Laettner's in.
Yeah, bro. I think he'll get in.
So that's 2-1. K-Love gets in. All right. The next one. Maybe one of the most controversial athletes in the last decade. Kyrie.
Oh, yeah.
He's in.
Y'all don't think he gets the T.O. treatment? You don't think they're going to bar him a little bit because they don't like him?
No, he's getting in.
Basketball Hall of Fame, like I said, like Basketball Hall of Fame has the type of writers that are very quote-unquote basketball culture. So, like, he's going to get in.
Bro, when your name's Uncle Drew, you're getting in.
His name is Uncle Drew. Okay, another one that's going to be a little iffy like K-Love. Does Blake Griffin get in?
No.
No. He doesn't.
I mean, minus the ring, he's basically got the same accolades as Kevin Love.
No, Kevin Love had way more impact.
I disagree. I definitely think Blake Griffin had more impact on those Clippers teams than K-Love had on those.
Blake never showed up when it was big. He was always injured.
He was always hurt, but you can say the same thing about Chris Paul.
Chris Paul has way more accolades than Blake Griffin.
I mean, yes, but just using that argument, if you're going to use that argument against him, Chris Paul has the same issue.
I don't think Blake Griffin's ever made it past or even to a conference finals.
Nope.
Did none of those Clippers teams get to the conference finals?
They choked.
Never made the conference finals.
They were going to, then they choked against Houston. They choked a 3-1 lead to Houston. They're supposed to play Golden State.
And who's always the common denominator? Doc Rivers.
But I'm just saying, Blake's not getting in.
No, he's not getting in.
That's a no. All right, the biggest iffy for me, does Jimmy Butler get it?
Yes.
I don't know if he gets in without a ring.
I think
he won't be in. First ballot.
He won't be first ballot regardless.
Yeah, he won't be first ballot.
I think he gets in due to those defensive years.
I think because Jimmy was not a star fresh out the bat, like he didn't become Jimmy Buckets until we'll say probably year 4 or 5.
Yeah.
He didn't become Jimmy Buckets until Derrick Rose got hurt.
I would say he gets in due to playoff accolades. Like this, they call him playoff Jimmy, bro. This man can hoop in the playoffs.
True. That is a big thing. I'm just kind of on the fence about it. I have no idea.
If he's able to get Miami a ring, he's in.
If he gets a
– he's a for sure. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, think about this. Does Bradley Beal get in?
No.
No.
He's better than Bradley Beal.
He is better than Bradley Beal.
He carries the Heat in the bubble. Got him to a championship by himself.
He has two all-time great playoff performances.
Who did he beat to get there?
He
was seventh seed.
He beat Giannis, who is by far a top 25 player of all time at this
moment.
Who else
did he beat? Boston. He took down Boston.
He took down Tatum. And he took down Tatum, Al Horford, and Jaylen Brown, one of which
got the Sixers, right?
No, he never played.
That was this year.
No, this year he beat the Sixers. So he beat Joel Embiid partially. He beat James Harden. That's a hell of a resume, yeah.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, and he had some moments against LeBron during those Heat years and Cleveland years.
He has
some playoff accolades. I think he gets in.
That's a very valid argument, Jesse. I can't go against that. It's valid. And to finish everything off, everybody's favorite Golden State Warrior, does Draymond Green get in?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
He's about to have 4 rings.
I'm treating
Draymond. And a defense player of the year.
I'm treating
If John Sally got in because of the Detroit Pistons, he's for sure getting in.
I'm treating Draymond like I'm treating Eli Manning. Is he getting in? Yes. Do I necessarily like it? No. But he gets in strictly because of what he's done with Golden State. And Golden State was just the perfect system and opportunity for it. Because I think it's a pretty safe bet to say, had he not played in Golden State, with the Snipers and the Splash Brothers that he's had the opportunity to play with, Draymond Green would not have the same career he's had. Would not.
Does Iggy get in?
That's another one. Does Iggy get in?
I think he does. He has a Finals MVP.
Yeah.
I think he gets in, not even because of what he did for Golden State, because his time with Philly.
Yeah.
Where after Iverson
left. And Denver.
After Iverson left, Iggy was by far the best player on that team, and at one point of his career, was a top 20 player in the league. I think Iggy gets in.
Yeah, he's in. Kevin Love is the only one I really don't agree with.
You don't like Kevin Love?
It's not that I don't like him. It's just
You just got to look at those accolades, Jamal. You got to look at those stats, man. In Minnesota, pull that up.
And by the way. For our stats, we always use Basketball Reference because, hey, we're trying to get that sponsor. Basketball Reference is the most accurate stats all around.
One-time NBA champ, 5-time All-Star, 2-time second-team All-NBA, Olympic gold medalist, NBA most improved.
Hey, Olympic medals matter a lot. That helps Melo's case.
I'm saying.
But Melo's going to get in no matter what, though.
but it also helps his case that he's the greatest Olympic basketball player of all time.
That, and also he's a national champion.
Yep. And that's all. At the height, at his height, K-Love averaged 26, 13 rebounds, 4 assists.
I'm saying, and, bro.
And 1 steal. That's damn good. And that's the year before he shipped to Cleveland.
He was balling, bro. You used to watch, name one player that played with him in those Minnesota years. I bet you can't.
Ricky Rubio. Ricky
Rubio.
Oh, my God. That doesn't count.
How does Ricky Rubio not count?
Does he get in? Oh, my God.
I don't know. I got to check his Spanish stuff. He may get in based off that.
It'd be like Ginobili. Everyone was hooping.
Oh, Ginobili absolutely gets in. I mean, look, he's got 2 seasons averaging 26 points. He's got multiple averaging 20.
He gets in, bro. I think he gets in those Minnesota years.
For a career.
But the thing about it, his Minnesota years really won't get accounted for as much.
I mean, look, if we're going to discount his Minnesota years, do we discount KG's?
But he still took them to the playoffs and got far.
He took Kevin Love took Minnesota to the playoffs.
What year?
I'm pretty sure he did.
He's never gone to the playoffs with Minnesota.
He didn't. No? Nope. Uh-uh. Only with Cleveland.
Minnesota was poor. They were cheeks.
I mean, they were cheeks with KG. Let me check the KG stats.
Nah, they made the playoffs a lot. Went to KG.
I think he gets in, man. I really do. Because he was vital in those Olympic years. He got Cleveland a championship.
I mean, yeah. KG definitely went to the playoffs a lot with Minnesota. Honestly, he went to the playoffs every year since he was drafted. Is he part of the 96 draft class or 97?
96. No, 97.
Because he's after Iverson and Marbury and Nash. No, he's older. He's drafted in 95.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. All right. The KG argument is not a valid argument, but I still think K Love gets in.
He might get in because of LeBron tweet.
Look, he had a chocolate milk commercial. That's enough for me. I like chocolate milk.
And his work on mental health is going to help a lot too.
True. Image is just a big part of everything.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I just based off his years in Minnesota, I mean, yeah, okay. He's putting up monster numbers, but he never took him to the playoffs.
Here's one. This is a very similar comp, if you think about it. Does DeMar DeRozan get in?
Nah. That's tough. I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
And it's Kawhi's fault he doesn't get in.
The baby dinosaurs.
It is Kawhi's fault because when they traded for him to get to Toronto – Him and DeMar DeRozan played the same position, so there was no point of keeping him on the team. So they chose Kyle Lowry. Hey, look.
And then won a championship.
And then he just went to waste away in San Antonio, even though that's not his fault. But, ladies and gentlemen, we've had a lot of ifs, ands, and buts on this list. So let us know who you think is a fringe Hall of Famer, who gets in, and who's on the outside looking in. But despite of all that, we have come to an end of another episode of the one and only D1 Indian University podcast. Fellas, how does it feel?
Man.
Feels like a Hall of Famer.
Feels like a Hall of Fame episode.
We chilling in the Hall of Fame. Y'all got to know that song. That's on fire. But with that being said, Jesse, give your final thoughts to the people.
Man, I just want to send my love. Just know I'm 19 days away from rooting back in Texas. 19 more days.
Where the stars at night are big and bright. We gonna add that back in post. EG, give the people your final thoughts.
Look, man, it was a great episode. Cool to be back. Kevin Love still not an all-star or a Hall of Famer.
We're just happy your girlfriend let you out the house. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the one and only D1 Indian University podcast. We look forward to coming to you semi-live whenever the hell I feel like it at this point. Why? Because I can do that. So, like I love to say at the end of every episode, keep learning, keep living, keep loving. Happy almost Juneteenth. We made it out, yeah. K-Love is going to the Hall of Fame. Jason Tatum, stop being light-skinned. You might get over that hump. And we out. The University.